Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about You've Already Got It. This is a teaching that I have, and I tell you, it is one of the most important things that God has shown me, and it is just a totally different way of looking at things. Instead of believing that God can do something, you believe what He has already done, and you just learn how to cooperate with Him and receive it. It is so much easier to receive than it is to get. There's a big difference between those two. You know, some of you won't relate to this, but I was in the Army, and I was sent to Vietnam. And I remember in Vietnam that if you were trying to attack a position, like say on a top of a hill where they had a defensive position, you could take 4 or 5 people and defend a position against 100. But if you were trying to take a position, it would take 100 people to overcome 5. Because it is so much easier to defend something that you already have than it is to go take a position that you don't have. And that is true not only in the Army, but that is true in the spirit realm. If you go to understanding that God has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3. If you understand Ephesians 1:15 through the end of the chapter, that you already have the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in you. It's not out there, but it's already in you. And you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead already in you. Boy, once you understand that, it is just a matter of time until you are going to see that power manifest. You know, Jamie and I got this revelation way back in the beginning of our walk with the Lord. It was around 1970, 72 is when we got married. And because of this, we didn't know very much. I'd never heard of Copeland and Hagen. Amen. I didn't know the teaching on faith. I didn't know about all of these things. But I had this revelation that I had this same power on the inside of me that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And even though I hadn't heard about your confession, I learned a lot of that through Charles Capps. And even though I didn't know about a lot of these things that I now know and that make it so much easier, I knew that I had this raising from the dead power on the inside of me. And you know what? It motivated me to believe. Once you know that you have this power, you don't become as passive. You don't look at your situation and just, roll with the punches. Once you know that you have this raising from the dead power on the inside of you, you just immediately start believing for it to be released and manifest. And I saw blind eyes open. I saw deaf ears open. I saw miracles of healing. I saw a lot of things happen before I even learned about some of the principles of faith. I just knew that I had the supernatural power of God on the inside of me. I knew these verses. And because of it, I just started believing God. I've said this before, but even an old blind squirrel will get a nut every once in a while if he doesn't quit. And you know what? The reason that so many of us aren't receiving the things of God is because we quit so easily because we just aren't sure that God can do it or will do it. But once you understand that He's already done it and He's already placed this power on the inside of you, it motivates you. And you just start believing. You start doing something. I started laying hands on everything that moved. And I didn't see the percentage of people healed back then that I see now. I see more people healed and manifest a miraculous power of God now than I did back then because I've learned some things that helped me to release my faith and also how to quicken faith in other people. So I see better results now. But you know what? Back then, I just prayed for anything and everything so much that, every once in a while you just stumbled on a miracle. You just saw some things happen nearly accidentally. I'm telling you, when you get this revelation, it makes a difference. I've used this example before. If I was to tell you that you had $1 million buried in your backyard, and if you really believed me, you know what? You would go do something trying to dig up that $1 million. Now, if all you have is a teaspoon, It may take you a long time to dig and find that $1 million in your backyard. If you had one of these big old backhoes or a big old bulldozer or something, you could get it quicker and you could do it much quicker and excavate and find the gold quicker. But you know what? If you really believed me, if all you had was a teaspoon, you could eventually get it if you didn't quit. But the problem is, see, a lot of people just get discouraged thinking, I'm not sure that there is $1 million. Well, likewise, a lot of Christians, well, I know that some people say that God can heal, but I tried and it didn't work. And you just quit because you don't really, really, really believe that you've already got it. Once you believe that you've got it, if all you've got is a toothpick, you'll use that toothpick and keep at it until, praise God, you finally mine these riches that are on the inside of you. So it just continues on in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Remember that the previous verses, I taught on those yesterday. And this is talking about that you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at the right hand of God in heavenly places. And not only did God do that for Jesus, but you hath he quickened. You are raised from the dead spiritually. In the spirit realm, you have power and authority. You've got to see this, that this isn't only about Jesus in heaven someplace, but he now lives on the inside of you, and you have this raising from the dead power on the inside of you. I'm going to skip a few verses, not because they're unimportant, but I'll preach on them if I read them. It's just powerful stuff. You need to read this on your own. But let's go down to verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a teaching that I have entitled Grace and Faith. This is one of the most important things God has shown me. I've put it into this album entitled You've Already Got It because it's the same principle. God, by grace, has already done everything. And your faith is just the way that you reach out and appropriate what has already been provided. Now, that's a mouthful. And I know that some of you didn't really get a lot out of what I just said, but it took me 20 years to say what I just said. Grace is God's part. It's what He does for you. Faith is your part. But faith doesn't make God do something. God has already moved by grace. Everything God does is by grace. Faith doesn't move God. Faith only appropriates what God has already done through grace. That's huge. That is huge. This literally transformed my life. That teaching changed my life. Let me just define a few things here. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Notice it says you are saved by grace through faith. The body of Christ can basically, this is probably an oversimplification, but I think most of you will understand what I'm saying. The body of Christ can basically be divided into people who emphasize grace and people who emphasize works or faith, the things that you have to do. And usually these two different camps discredit each other and are against each other. You'll hear the people over here, the abuse of grace is a hyper-sovereignty of God. The abuse of faith is legalism and works and effort. Now there is a good grace and there is a good faith, but grace has been abused. Here's another way of saying this. All error is a truth taken to an extreme or to the exclusion of another truth. Now, that's an important statement right there. If you go to any cult, you'll find out that they have some truth, but they just take it to an extreme. For instance, I actually heard a person interviewed one time who was a priest in the Church of Satan. And they were touting that they believed the Bible. And I was interested in how a Satanist could believe the Bible. And he pulled a scripture out of context that says, love your enemies. And he said, who is our enemy more than the devil? So, based on scripture, They were teaching love and worship for the devil and an ultimate reconciliation where even the devil and demons were going to be someday forgiven and accepted back into the family of God. And they used those kind of things to justify worshiping the devil. Now, you know what? They have a truth, and that is love your enemies. But boy, they have applied it completely contrary to everything that the Word teaches. And that's all that error is a truth taken to an extreme or to the exclusion of other truths. Did you know it is true that grace saves us? It even says that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, the end of the verse. Or let me just read the whole verse. It says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ," parentheses, "by grace ye are saved." It's not totally wrong to say that you're saved by grace, but it's technically wrong to say that you're saved by grace because you aren't saved by grace. You're saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is your part. If all it was God, if it was only up to God whether or not you got saved, every person would be saved. Because 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means it's God's will for every person to be saved. If it was just up to God, if it was His grace, well, then every person would be saved. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says that Jesus is the propitiation. That means the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, talking about to Christians, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. It is not His will that a single person die and go to hell. So if it was only up to God, every person would be saved because grace is God's part. But see, not every person responds in faith to what God has done. And it takes both of these. It's not just grace. Technically, it's incorrect to say that you're saved by grace alone. No, you're saved by grace. That's God's part. And then you have to respond by faith. I've had somebody compare it to this, that sodium and chloride are both poisons. And if you take enough sodium, yeah, it'll kill you. If you take enough chloride, it'll kill you. But you mix them together and it makes salt. And you'll die if you don't have enough of it. It's the same thing. Grace alone will kill you. And again, if you don't balance grace with faith, our response, well, then it gets off into this hyper-sovereignty of God to where it's just all up to God. Whatever will be, will be. God controls everything. Nothing happens without God's will. That is not what the Word of God teaches. That's what religion teaches. I think that that's probably one of the most dominant doctrines in the body today. And people get mad at me big time when I challenge this because, I mean, it is pervasive. It is not only in the denominational churches. It's in the Spirit-filled churches. It's just nearly everywhere. People all over believe that nothing can happen without God's permission. Therefore, God is basically behind everything, and it really doesn't matter what you do. It's just fate. It's just God has controlled it. You pray and ask for healing, but if the person dies, it must have been God's will. That's wrong. That is not true. And yet there's a lot of people who believe that. You know what that is? That is an extreme teaching on grace. That it's just up to God and it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you live. That's not true. On the other, you know, that's like out where I live out in the country and we have dirt roads. And for drainage, they have ditches on both sides of the road. And if you start into one ditch, the tendency of people is to overcorrect and pull out of that ditch so much that you hit a ditch on the other side of the road. And I've often said that there's a ditch on both sides of the road. If you want to reach your destination, you just don't avoid this one ditch. You got to avoid both of them. And you got to go right down the middle. There's a balance between these two ditches. Well, likewise, in the spirit realm, some people will see the abuse of grace and people thinking, well, it's just totally up to God. I have nothing to do with anything. And that leads to complacency. That leads to passiveness. That leads to us just accepting whatever happens. And some people see the ditch over here, the damage that that causes. And so they go so far the other direction, they hit a ditch over here to where it's not up to, you know, what God wants or what God has provided. It's all up to us. Everything, we got to produce it all. And the abuse of faith is legalism, works oriented, to where you think that you've got to earn everything. Now, see, there's a partial balance here. There's a truth about grace and there's a truth about faith, but you've got to put them into balance in order to really receive from God. So again, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You are saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. And grace can be defined in a lot of different ways. I could spend days on this, but just real simple, it's talking about it's unearned. It's undeserved. It has nothing to do with you. You can't earn grace. If it's grace, then you didn't earn it. And if you say, "But I'm worthy of God's grace," well, then you don't understand grace. Grace means that it has nothing to do with you. God, by grace, has forgiven the sins of the entire human race. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. He paid for our sins. And that grace is already complete. And some people think, so does that mean that every person is saved? No, because you're saved by grace through faith. Here's a verse that goes right along with this. It's in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men." Now, grace is God's part. It's something that's done independent of you. It's not based on your goodness. It's not whether you're worthy of it or not. God, by grace, has already provided salvation. And this verse, Titus 2:11, says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men." But does that mean that all men are saved? No, because not all men have mixed faith in what God has done. They haven't believed it and they haven't received it. For instance, you know, I don't know for sure. I am not the ultimate judge. I don't know what goes on in people's hearts, but as far as I can tell, Hitler did not believe in God. Now, he claimed to be a Christian, but every action of his was contrary to it. He was demon-possessed. He was bad to the max. I don't believe he truly knew the Lord, and I don't think that he got right with God before he died. I guess it's possible, but from all indications, he didn't put faith in what God did. But did you know that Hitler's sins were atoned for by grace? That means it wasn't based on his goodness. He had forgiveness available to him just as surely as it was available to me. The only difference is I've responded positively to God's grace. Hitler didn't. Hitler rejected it and rebelled at it. I'm sure that the Lord tried to convict him and stop him a million times, and he hardened himself and persisted. So see, I believe that God died for everyone's sins. Hitler's sins, Saddam Hussein's sins, Osama bin Laden's sins. I believe that Jesus died to forgive all of us, but from my understanding, for the limited knowledge I have, I don't believe any of those people I mentioned put faith in what Jesus did for them. They might have acknowledged that God existed. They might have even acknowledged Jesus, but they didn't put faith in Him. And I did. So see, God's grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, but you have to appropriate that grace through faith. It says this over in Romans. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Notice you have access to God's grace by faith. No faith, no access. But grace has already provided everything. Grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. God has given every person who's ever breathed on this planet an opportunity to be saved, and He's provided for their salvation, and He's given them some revelation of it, but you have to respond positively to it. That's what we call faith. Reach out and accept the grace of God. So see, if you don't understand this, there are some people that just say, "Well, it's totally up to the grace of God." That's not true. God's grace is the same to every single person who's ever lived on the planet. God extended grace towards Hitler, towards everybody, but some people receive the grace of God and believe it and get their life changed and are in relationship with God, and other people reject it. So see, it's not just totally up to grace. There's a ditch on that side of the road. You can get into an extreme over here and get into a hyper-sovereignty of God that will just kill you and kill motivation and kill. It makes you passive. But in an attempt to get away from that, you can go over here to where, no, it's not just up to God. I've got to do this. And if you aren't careful, you will take the burden of salvation on yourself and think that you have to save yourself by all of your good actions. Nope, it's not grace alone, nor is it faith alone. It is God's grace, what He's provided for you, and faith appropriates what God has already provided. So the abuse of grace is hyper-sovereignty. The abuse of faith is legalism, works that produces condemnation. There is a right type of faith to where I study the Word, but I don't study the Word to earn me credit with God. I believe that God, by grace, already loves me, but I study the Word to renew my mind, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So I study it to build myself up, not to make God love me more. I go to church not because God is going to treat me badly if I don't go to church. If I go to church, God doesn't love me more. If I don't go to church, God doesn't love me less. But if I don't go to church, I'll love God less because I won't be around God's people. I won't be hearing people that will challenge me and help me to understand the Word of God. Going to church doesn't earn me credit with God, but going to church changes my heart towards God. It doesn't change God's heart towards me. So see, there are things I have to do, but if you aren't careful and if you don't understand that it's all by grace and all your faith is doing is appropriating what God has already supplied by grace. If you don't understand that, you can get over into an extreme over here to where you are thinking that I go to church and I pay my tithes and I've done this and this and this, and now, God, you've got to move in my life. God doesn't respond to your faith. If it's true Bible faith, your faith should be a response to what God has already done through grace. Faith doesn't move God. We'll hear that statement often. But it's not true. God moves by grace, independent of you, completely separate from what you deserve. It was done before you were ever born. That's grace. God moves by grace. And then faith just is your way of appropriating what God has already done. It doesn't make God move. God's not responding to your faith. Your faith should be a response to God. Man, these are powerful things that I'm saying. These things have changed my life. I know some of you, this is more technical than you want to be. You just want somebody to wave their hand over you and get over your problem so that you can go back to watching As the Stomach Turns on TV. But you know what? This is good for you. This will help you if you can understand what I'm talking about. I'm out of time today, but I would like to encourage you to please get these materials that we're offering entitled You've Already Got It. Our announcer will give you more information. And then call or write today and join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled, You've Already Got It, is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, You've Already Got It is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Grace and Faith, free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the New England area next week for a Gospel Truth seminar August 25th through the 27th. In Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 11th through the 16th. In Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th. And in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, Sunday, October 2nd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Meet world changer Jim McCood. Caris Bible College graduate, class of 2004. A successful businessman, he turned his life completely over to Jesus.
Oh my gosh, there really is a God. I mean, like, this isn't like some story. This is like, there's really a God. When I got saved, I was saved. I just did things that I felt like God wanted me to do.
After attending Caris Bible College, Jim heard God speaking to him about using CBC's discipleship materials to reach Costa Rica. He immediately had the materials translated into Spanish using local pastors.
God said, Jim, I want you to help reach the nation, to disciple the nation of Costa Rica and then later Latin America.
In just 3 years, Jim has established 230 discipleship groups in Costa Rica. Some in homes, churches, public schools, and businesses. Are you a world changer? Caris Bible College can prepare the way.
When you get to where you know this better than you know the news broadcast and better than you know the sports score and who's ahead in this and that and all of these kind of things, when you get to where the Word of God dominates your life, it will give you the ability to reject all of this unbelief and negativism of the world. And it'll build you up and it'll give you faith.
Join Andrew Womack for the New England Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through 27th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.